I bet you can't guess what that piece was. And I'm wondering if you can even guess who the piece was by. Been in the musical news lately, the composer that is, and we'll tell you more in just a moment. Welcome to another edition of Critical Thinking. I'm your host and producer for this series. What's my name again? Andrew Pattner. And some unusual discs today that have been piling up on the kitchen counter as various people send me their discs or the discs of people they've recorded or whom they know or that have spoken to them. We're going to, in the first half or so, and then towards the end of the hour, listen to modern and contemporary music for harpsichord and for harpsichord with chamber orchestra. This is inspired by a brand new disc, Toccatas, Modern American Music for Harpsichord, by the Chicago-born, Paris-resident, and I think heading back to Chicago, where he has played with both Lyric Opera of Chicago and the Haymarket Opera early music group here in Chicago, Jory Vinicour, J-O-R-Y, V-I-N-I-K-O-U-R. And it's on the Sono Luminous record label, new to me. Jory includes an array of pieces, many of them having their first ever recording, and at least one, which we'll hear, a world premiere commission as well, commissioned by Jory from a Chicago composer. Well, that first piece has a big Chicago connection because it's by Ned Roram, and it's called Spiders. Ned Roram, celebrating his 90th birthday this year, still quite active in the world of music and letters, born in Indiana but grew up in Hyde Park at 56th and Dorchester. His father, C. Rufus Roram, then on the faculty of the University of Chicago. The work is called Spiders. It's from 1968, and Ned Roram said of it in June of this year, "Nothing can be said about music that the music can't say better, except how it came to be written. Like most composers, my keyboard knowledge began with the piano and stayed that way until, by a fluke, while still in my 20s, I met both Ralph Kirkpatrick and Wanda Landowska." These were the people who reintroduced the harpsichord in the 20th century. "Immediately," and that's so Roram that he met them, "immediately I wrote a harpsichord concerto, but neither of them played it, nor has anyone, ever. Where is it now? Forgotten in a trunk somewhere? In 1968, I did compose Spiders for solo harpsichord and dedicated to Igor Kipnis, but it too has faded from sight or sound. So I am touched that Jory Vinicour has found it and now recorded it." And we heard there the world premiere recording of Spiders, 1968, by Ned Roram. Another composer you've heard us talk about here, Robert Mushinsky. Robert Mushinsky, M-U-C-Z-Y-N-S-K-I, was a Chicago composer. He studied with Cherepnin at DePaul and also with Walter Knupfer at DePaul, made his way to New York, made his way to Iowa, and then finally for many years to the University of Arizona in Tucson. Not a man who tooted his own horn, but a man who did many very interesting things, often at the cusp of jazz and so-called classical music. We're going to hear another world premiere recording, Mushinsky's 1982 Profiles. It's in two movements, each around 2 minutes-ish, moderato and allegro. Thank you. Jory Vinokur, V-I-N-I-K-O-U-R, playing music of Robert Muchinski, M-U-C-Z-Y-N-S-K-I. Muchinski died at a great age in 2010, and we played and talked about some of his music at that time. Too forgotten, a composer with a strong Chicago background and connection. Grew up, I believe, in Ukrainian village. Jory Vinokur also has a current Chicago composer represented on the disc, Patricia Moorhead. Her Turbulon Galaxy from 2012. Pat says of Turbulon Galaxy, which could be Tourbillon Galaxy, but she's from the English-speaking part of Canada, so maybe it's Turbulon. Written for and dedicated to the amazing harpsichordist and my dear friend, Jory Vinokur. And we should say that Ned Roram also referred to Jory as renowned. So there you are, Jory. The piece is inspired, Pat writes, by my vision of a distant galaxy in outer space that is comprised of whirlwinds and violent storms. My inspirations for this piece are the great works for harpsichord by the French composer Jean-Philippe Rameau and the desire to compose a perpetuum mobile. The piece is composed of very tightly controlled canons, C-A-N-O-N-S, often at very close intervals and just the distance of a 16th note apart. I particularly wanted to challenge the performer in a 21st century idiom. So here we have a 21st century recording of a 21st century work, Jory Vinokur playing Turbulon Galaxy of Patricia Moorhead, a little over 3 minutes. Jory Vinokur playing Turbulon Galaxy by Patricia Moorhead from his new album Toccatas, Modern American Music for Harpsichord. And we're going to hear a little more from the album towards the end of the hour. Let me tell you that Jory was playing a double manual French harpsichord by Thomas and Barbara Wolfe, made in 2005. It was commissioned by the University of Maryland School of Music. They made it available for this recording. And it was designed and built after the model of Nicolas Dumont, 1707 in Paris. There are many more details that harpsichordists would know the meaning of. I'm just going to tell you that it is a contemporary instrument made to follow a 300-year-old French instrument. Well, Jory Vinokur is not the only harpsichordist who is playing contemporary music. Mahan Esfahani, an American of Iranian background and actually born in Tehran, who makes his home now in the UK, has been championing much modern and contemporary music. If you Google about for him, Mahan, M-A-H-A-N, Esfahani, E-S-F as in Frank, A-H-A-N-I. You can find him in Conversation with Norman Lebrecht, the music writer, on Google, on YouTube, and in the future we'll be doing a whole program on and with Mahan. But as I say, he's over in England living now, and we're in Chicago. But there's a young Welshman, Christopher Lewis, came to San Francisco to study at the San Francisco Conservatory, wanted specifically to study and play contemporary harpsichord. And he has an album out now from Naxos, Harpsichord Concertos of John Rutter, Jean Francais, and Philip Glass. We're going to hear from the first movement, what I think is the second recording of the Philip Glass Concerto for Harpsichord and Chamber Orchestra. It was written in the spring of 2002 and given its premiere by Guillaume Staples Dupré, who also made the first recording of the work in Seattle at Benaroya Hall. Philip Glass comments about the concerto. Several years ago, I was invited by Charles and Diana Carey to compose a work for harpsichord and chamber orchestra to be performed by the Northwest Chamber Orchestra in September 2002. I found the invitation intriguing for several reasons. For one, I have always been an admirer of the literature for harpsichord and studied some of the music from the Baroque period quite thoroughly and have played a bit of that music myself. Secondly, I knew that the modern-day harpsichord was capable of a fuller, more robust sound than was available in, quote, period, unquote, instruments, and might make a handsome partner to a modern chamber orchestra. I came up with the traditional three-movement work. Concertos always are a tricky affair. The best result is always when the soloist and the orchestra both have had the chance to shine in the musical spotlight. I'll be delighted if this new work in some manner succeeds in that way. So let us hear then young Christopher Lewis in recording with the West Side Chamber Orchestra, Kevin Mallon conducting, movement one of three from the Philip Glass Concerto for Harpsichord and Chamber Orchestra, 2002, and it's about 8.5 minutes. Christopher Lewis playing a French-style harpsichord by D. Jacques Way, W-A-Y, from 1994, recorded at the American Academy of Arts and Letters in New York in September of 2012. Christopher Lewis, he's been on the Dame Myra Hess concert series. Christopher D. Lewis, he styles himself, I see. D. probably for David, because he's from Wales. But he's based in San Francisco. An exciting album, also with John Rutter's Suite Antique and Jean-Francais' Concerto pour Clavecin at Ensemble Instrumental. John McMurtry is the flutist on other selections from the album, and I think we'll hear a bit more of that album at the end of the hour. Well, let's switch gears away from the harpsichord to the human voice. Something different here is that Stephanie Blythe, B-L-Y-T-H-E, the renowned American mezzo, is here heard both in popular music with her regular pianist and artistic partner, Chicagoan Craig Terry, an assistant conductor and pianist at Lyric Opera of Chicago and the partner of choice for many, many singers. It's also a recording that Stephanie Blythe herself was involved in making. It's on the Innova label, I-N-N-O-V-A, and she wanted to record this album, she and Craig Terry, in an environment that would sound as if you were just hearing somebody singing for you rather than singing in a studio, something she did in collaboration with Meyer, M-E-Y-E-R, Sound Laboratories in Berkeley, California. So if it sounds like she made this recording and sent it just to you, talk with Stephanie Blythe about that. We're going to hear her in first, Look for the Silver Lining, 1919, Buddy De Silva and the composer Jerome Kern.
Tears are out of place in eyes that were meant to smile. There's a way to make your very biggest trouble small. Here's the happy secret of it all. Look for the silver lining whene'er a cloud appears in the blue. Remember
the Ziegfeld Follies star Marilyn Miller's number from the 1919 musical Sally, Jerome Kern and Buddy De Silva. Look for the Silver Lining. Stephanie Blythe and Craig Terry at the piano. Let's hear some more. We'll go chronologically. This is a song that gives its own introduction and its own explanation.
Of all the boys I've known, and I've known some, until I first met you, I was lonesome. And when you came in sight, dear, my heart grew light, and this whole world seemed new to me. You're really swell, I have to admit you deserve expressions that really fit you. And so I've racked my brain hoping to explain all the things that you do to me. By me, Mr. Shane, please let me explain. By me, Mr. Shane, means that you're grand. By me, Mr. Shane, again I'll explain. It means you're the fairest in the land. I could say Bella, Bella, even say
Well, what a song and what a performance of it. By Mir Bistu Shane, to me, you're beautiful, you're grand. The story behind the song, in sum, written by Sholem Secunda and Jacob Jacobs for a Yiddish musical comedy in 1932, written entirely in Yiddish. Sammy Kahn hears this performed at the Apollo in Harlem, in Yiddish, by a black troupe, and says, I got to do something with this song. He's able to buy the copyright. He recomposes the song with Sol Chaplin, puts more syncopation into it, more swing, Germanizes the title into By Mir Bistu Shane, but keeps that feel of the minor mode, and then plays back and forth, of course, with the language. The Andrews Sisters recorded at the end of 37, and it becomes a hit. It remains a hit. You might recall Sammy Kahn coming around Chicago in the 1990s, doing a show a number of times at what was it called? It was on Halsted. It became a pet food warehouse or something, but it was a theater. And he would be on Studs Terkel as well, and I got to see him a number of times singing and talking about By Mir Bistu Shane and his many, many other songs. Well, let's hear Stephanie Blythe and Craig Terry again in a song written for Frank Sinatra in the mid-1960s by Gordon Jenkins for Sinatra's album The September of My Years, when he was looking at aging head on. And we'll now hear Stephanie and Craig take on This Is All I Ask. Thank you. As the song says, as long as there are songs, and that's the title of a brand new album just recorded 51 weeks ago by mezzo Stephanie Blythe, B-L-Y-T-H-E, and pianist Craig Terry. They conceived of the show, they conceived of the performance, they even conceived of the unusual recording style on the Innova label, I-N-N-O-V-A. While we're talking about personal things and personal styles, how about Chicago pianist, composer, artistic director, founder of the long-running Chicago Ensemble? You hear them around town for almost 40 years now. Regular guests on Live from WFMT, Gerald Jerry Rizzer, R-I-Z-Z-E-R. Jerry Rizzer went to the University of Chicago in the 1960s. I think his roommate might have been Joel Smirnoff, who's now the president of the Cleveland Institute of Music, longtime member of the Juilliard String Quartet before that, and before that, a Chicago musician. Jerry's also known as a teacher, as a coach. He's been involved recently in working on musical theater, and this is a little album that he just put together for friends called Gerald Rizzer Plays His Songs without words. And we'll hear the first couple of these written in 1986. Jerry says he wrote these short piano pieces over a 25-year period. Not sure what category they belong in. Many have the feel of jazz ballads, but some are more like classical pieces with popular influences. As a whole, they're lyrical, rhythmically fluid, and harmonically unpredictable. I hope, Jerry writes, you find them appealing. Well, I hope you do too. We're going to hear moderate lilting followed by fast swing. Local pianist composer Jerry Rizzer, known mostly for his chamber work with his own Chicago ensemble over the last four decades, recorded a year ago at Sherwood Community Music School at Columbia College, Chicago, where Jerry is a longtime faculty member as well. Moderate lilting and fast swing from Gerald Rizzer plays his songs without words. It's a private recording, as far as I can tell, that Jerry has sent on to his friends, but you can find him online at Gerald Rizzer, one word, at msn.com. We're going to go back to, and we're going to go out with, a selection from Jory Vinokur's Toccatas album, Modern American Music for Harpsichord. It's the oldest work on the disc, which I find is quite interesting. The disc is basically organized chronologically from 1953 to 2012. And this is a work of the great Mel Powell, who just spanned genres, understood things about music that we're still catching up with. 1923 to 1998, his 1953 work, Recitative and Toccata Percosa, composed for the American harpsichordist Fernando Valenti. And as you'll hear, it's in two very exciting and intertwined movements. Recitative and Toccata Percosa of Mel Powell, Jory Vinokur, harpsichord. It's about 8 minutes. Thank you. recitative and toccata percussa, 1953 work of the late Mel Powell, the very much living Jory Vinokur, his new CD Toccatas, Modern American Music for Harpsichord. We also heard Christopher D. Lewis in Philip Glass for harpsichord, Stephanie Blythe and Craig Terry in American Popular Songs, and a little music from area pianist-composer Gerald Rizzer. Just thought we'd hear some unusual things that tickled my ears and I hope tickled yours as well. Drop us a note. Let us know what you thought about this or any of our other programs. Rentap, it's Patner spelled backwards, R-E-N-T-A-P at AOL.com. I'd like to thank Matt DeStefano for helping me to put this program together today and making it sound great. I'd like to thank our funders, Alphawood Foundation, Dick and Susie Kiphart, and other friends of this program. You can hear this or any of our programs at WFMT.com/critical thinking. The always free Critical Thinking podcast. I'm Andrew Patner. See you next week.